This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're happy to be talking today with Congressman Arthur Winstead, Democrat from Philadelphia, Mississippi, and with a guest from overseas, the Reverend D.F.B. de Beer, the Public Morals Secretary of the Dutch Reformed Church of South Africa from the Transvaal. Reverend de Beer is just concluding a lengthy tour of the United States on official church business. Gentlemen, very happy to have both of you back with us again.
I'm very happy to be here. It's been fine seeing your country.
I'd like to ask you this question to begin with, Reverend de Beer. We've been hearing quite a bit in this country in recent months about the conditions in South Africa, particularly in the field of race relations. And I know that we've been getting, to a large extent, only one side of the story, but there are still quite a number of questions in the minds of Americans. One question particularly concerns the so-called pass system that the South African government maintains for the natives who work in the various cities of South Africa. This has been held up as some sort of a cruel or inhuman system. I'd like to have your explanation of it so that we can get the facts concerning it.
The pass system, or as we call it, the reference book system, is merely a means of regulating the influx of the Bantu from their territories to the white cities and the towns. They all come in to get work, and not only do they come in, but foreign natives and Bantu from outside the Union come in to work on the mines in South Africa. Now, the government tries to protect its own Bantu peoples and does not let the Bantu come into the white areas unless he's assured of work, and the reference book is the system by which this influx is controlled. If they were allowed to come in just as they felt, millions would come in, they would not have work, there would be problems of unemployment, and the white people wouldn't have work either. So before a man comes in, they try to ensure that there will be work for him, and that reference book shows that he's employed, shows whether he's paid his tax, and is a means of identity. The white people also carry identity cards. There's no objection to making them quite similar.
The reference books, as you call them, the passes, I understand that these are used, as you say, as means of identification, and the Bantu are required to carry them at all times, is that it?
Yes, they are required to carry it, and of course the system can be harshly applied, with which we do not agree. But it's not there's nothing cruel or oppressive about it. The Sharpeville riots were originated by agitators who urged these Bantu not to carry their reference books and to provoke and challenge the police on the point.
Well, in other words, without this reference book, an individual would have no way of proving that he was in a particular area legally.
It's a great protection to the Bantu to have this book.
In connection with that, Reverend de Beer, what is being done to to develop the Bantu people by South Africa?
Well, I can only say, Mr. Winstead, that South Africa is doing more for the development of its Bantu people than any other power in Africa. For instance, there are powers administrating Aboriginal populations in Nigeria, Kenya, Tanganyika, Uganda, Gold Coast, Nyasaland, Southern Rhodesia, Northern Rhodesia, Basutoland, Bechuanaland, and Swaziland, all in Africa. And that's a Bantu population of 47.5 million people. And all those countries having administrations in Africa together only spent 50 cents per capita of the populations which they care for on education, medical services, and social services. The Union of South Africa spends per capita $5.80 per capita. And Southwest Africa, which is a mandated territory also administered by the Union government, spends between $3 and $4 per capita. I have here figures from other sources, official figures, which show that in comparison to other countries like India and Congo and Peru and Nigeria and Rhodesia, South Africa spends on education and health per capita of its Bantu population $4, and Rhodesia comes next with $1.70, whereas India, who is always accusing South Africa and the United Nations, only spends 3 cents per head of its population on those services.
You mentioned the Congo. Now we see what's happening there. If you should proceed too rapidly in your country, do you think that you might have similar developments in your section as to what they've had in the Congo?
Yes, I certainly think it will be disastrous at this stage of development to hand over the country to the Bantu or other non-white peoples. It will lead to the destruction of Christianity and of civilization. The government, however, wishes every race and every nation in South Africa to develop to its full capacity and to have independence, and so this policy of separate development has been originated just to effect that, namely to develop the territories in which the Bantu originally settled when they came to South Africa, to erect towns and erect industries by means of self-help, teaching the Bantu how to work these industries, how to work their farms, and then giving them, when they're in a position to do all that and to support themselves, giving them full political rights there so that they can eventually become independent countries. But I certainly do not think it would be wise to hand over these territories to the Bantu and to the other races now before they have been trained for it. I think that's the great mistake that's been made in the Congo. But that is certainly the intention of the South African government, to develop these territories so that they can be self-supporting, and they have already given them full political rights in their territories, not outside, but in their territories they have full political rights, and they will be able to become independent states in the future, joined to the Union, to white South Africa in a sort of commonwealth.
I believe in your country that you have similar problems to some of our problems in the South. We find that our Negroes in the southern states, where they have their own teachers, their own preachers, and they have sufficient number to maintain segregated churches and schools, and we find that most of our better educated Negroes lack an opportunity like that in order that they might develop leaders, their own ministers and their own teachers, and they have trustees of their own schools. and all the way down the line they can develop leadership. Now, we can see a different problem in a community where there's only, a small percentage, maybe 1% of one race or the other. You've got a different problem to what you'd have in South Africa or in the States where they have sufficient number of each of these races to develop their own people and have equal facilities and opportunities.
That's quite true. We try to develop them and to give them full opportunities to develop leadership. And in the case of the churches, the experiment has been very successful. They're quite happy in their own churches and controlling and ruling their own churches.
Certainly South Africa's been friendly with the United States and the Western world, and I can't see myself why that we would want to interfere with your internal affairs. And I know in my section of the country, if you'll take the agitators out and leave it up to the masses of even the Negro people, that you have no trouble with the masses of those people if it were not for outside interference. And here, unfortunately, the political football is rolling so fast with both parties that gives us a different problem to what you have probably at home.
That is the case, Mr. Winstead. We feel that people do not understand our problems, and by the interference from outside, our position is aggravated.
During the time that you have spent in the United States, Reverend De Beer, have you experienced any hostility that you might have been expecting to experience after reading some of the press reports, or have you found the people of this country generally sympathetic and anxious to know the truth about South Africa?
Well, I've found that in the South they are more understanding because they have similar problems. In the North I've found that they generally take the line that we are tyrannical and oppressive and unchristian in our policy, and they know very little of what is really being done for the indigenous races of South Africa. I certainly think that if the proportions were different in the United States would understand South Africa much better. If instead of having about 160 million whites and about 15 million of Negroes, you had 113 million Negroes and 34 million whites, and say 17 million Japanese, and 6 million Indians. If these four races were living here in that proportion, I think then you would understand much better what the difficulties of South Africa are.
I'd certainly like to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. Our guests on today's program, Congressman Arthur Winstead, Democrat from Mississippi, and the Reverend D.F.B. De Beer, of the Dutch Reformed Church in the Union of South Africa. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying coast to coast, thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.